Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
A pleasure to have you along today. Thanks so much for stopping on by. Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky here, and we're very happy to welcome in Christian Fourier, who did it on the field and now does it on the air. WEEI, the afternoon host in Chicago, two-time Super Bowl champ with the Patriots as well. Good enough to join us here to talk about New England Patriots. What? Oh, did I say Chicago? I don't know where that came from. We were just talking about something else here, baseball. Anyways, Christian Fourier, good enough to join us. Thank you very much, Christian. Appreciate your time this afternoon. How you doing?
Yeah, I was just going to let it roll that I was from Chicago. Yeah, I wasn't going to be rude and correct you.
Brain fog. That's what I had right there, a little brain fog. We do appreciate you joining us today, and you understand why we wanted to talk to you today, I am sure. Look, I think we should establish some facts. I have never been a Patriot hater in my entire life. I am not a hater of Tom Brady. I'm not a hater of Bill Belichick. I wasn't angry at Spygate. I wasn't angry at Deflategate. I mean, I said my eyebrow went up, but I didn't say this is part and parcel of their success. Here we are again, though. And if you wanted to test my patience, I guess we're doing that a little bit. Christian, the reports are there are 8 minutes of video of the Bengals sideline.
Yeah.
What is going on in Foxborough and in Boston today? What do you think?
Well, okay. So here's what I'm almost positive I know what happened. But like I've been talking about all day, it doesn't even matter what the truth and what the facts are. The reality is the national media, all the other haters have just been served a big giant meatball right down the center of the plate, and they're hitting it out of the park every single time they get a chance. What happened was they were doing this show called Do Your Job. They do it on Patriots.com. They've done a bunch of different people in the organization, the trainer, the wait staff, you name it, they've done it.
And all the behind-the-scenes folk.
Yeah, behind-the-scenes, yeah. What goes into being a trainer? You know, let's spend a day with them, do your job. That's the whole phrase that they've been using forever. So sure enough, they go out to Cleveland, and it just so happens to be that they're playing the Cincinnati Bengals. Call it a coincidence. I don't know. And they hire a third-party camera guy, and he just starts – they get credentialed, but they don't tell anybody what they're doing. They don't say that they're doing a documentary, doing a show, doing a segment on a scout that works for the Patriots. They weren't hiding it. They weren't, avoiding anybody. They were wearing their Patriots gear. But sure enough, you see a Patriots person videotaping a sideline. You have no idea what's going on. You're obviously suspicious because of their reputation. Red flags go up. And then they alert them. They alert the NFL officials. They confiscate the little tape that they have. And then here we are. Here we are again, right? It's like Groundhog's Day. It's like Spygate 2.0, the search for Curly's gold. It just drives me insane. But here we are.
You know, I keep hearing NFL teams live their entire lives looking to avoid distraction. What the hell is this then?
Listen, it is kind of comical in a way because it just looks bad regardless of how you try to explain it away. And the Patriots have admitted to it, right? So we had Bill on yesterday, and it's the first thing we started with. We started talking to him about it, and he said, yeah, you know, I've just heard about it, and here's what happened. I had nothing to do with it, which I totally agree with. So Kraft Sports Production is inside the stadium, right? It's literally like maybe 20 yards away from the Patriots locker room and their meeting rooms, because a lot of the guys will do stuff. Bill does his show there, and so it's just really easily accessible, you know. So, but they don't. Bill doesn't sit there and monitor what shows they're going to do. He doesn't green light productions, you know. He doesn't do that.
Not anymore, anyways.
Oh yeah, not anymore. Yeah. But so here's where we are, right? So they're probably going to have some sort of fine, even though I think it was legit bad communication, bad management of the situation, because anyone who is associated with the Patriots should know that that's kind of a taboo, right? Listen, don't walk around. Don't videotape anything. We have a bad history with this. We don't want people speculating. Well, they did it anyways. Whoever was in charge kind of screwed that up. But unfortunately, and which goes with the territory, Bill is the one with the black eye. Because it looks like he orchestrated the whole thing. It's like Ocean's 11. You know, let's just camouflage. We'll turn you guys into camera crew. Yeah, yeah. We'll invent a show. We'll create a show so we'll be able to get footage. I mean, it's...
Wouldn't put it past them.
Again, there you go. See, that's why, like, if you're a Patriot fan or if you're constantly defending the team, this one, you kind of just have to take your lumps because, like, first time, shame on you. Second time, you know, first time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. Like, I should know better. You should handle yourself more carefully. And it happened. And so here come all the doubters. Here come, once a cheat, always a cheat. And unfortunately, there's really nothing you can do about it. Just deal with it.
As a sort of a cynical sidelight, I'm wondering if the talk in Boston today is about this as opposed to what seems to be a sort of growing problem of
how bad the offense sucks, because they do suck. The offense is terrible. And will they be able to beat Baltimore? No, none of that, not at all. And we won't do it tomorrow either. We'll do nothing but this.
So I understand.
So that's a brilliant strategy.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I understand your point. There's an outside production house. Belichick's not greenlighting the media productions for the website. Fine. I'm constantly told Bill Belichick controls the entire football operation, is on top of...
Oh, that's the other angle. That's
every detail. I'm honestly curious.
That's the
Christian, hold on one sec. Here's my question. are you telling me I am supposed to believe that they assigned a video crew to videotape one of Bill Belichick's advanced scouts and he did not know about it?
100%.
Okay.
100%. I mean, and I guess first of all, to think that Bill can get a team ready, can talk to his coaches, can motivate and develop players and work on a game plan and everything else, and to think that he realistically has his hand and is green lighting all this stuff.
No, I don't think he is.
It was never true. Hold on. It was never true in the first place, but the perception and the narrative was brought out there based on because he's a control freak, and so you just run with it. So what we can't do is like, well, no, but like you, people say, well, all we've heard all these years is that he has his hands on everything and he controls everything. That's not the truth. He has nothing to do. The only time that he runs over to Kraft Productions, which is literally, 20 yards away from his office, is on Tuesday when he does his show, Patriots All Access or whatever the hell it's called.
But he controls the advanced scouting department, right?
Well, listen,
he is the GM.
The advanced scout, I mean, he is and he isn't, but if a Kraft Production is doing a story, do you think Kraft Productions had to go to Bill Belichick and say, hey, we want to do a story on Jim Whaling, who is your athletic director, who's your team trainer for the last 20-some-odd years. Are you okay with this? Like, do you think they put a bunch of stuff in front of him and say, hey, look at this, oversee this?
I don't think he's looking at dailies, Christian, but I do kind of I would have thought they'd ask Belichick's permission before they sent a crew following the trainer around. Yeah, I do. I would have thought that.
I don't. I think you guys, I think that's the problem. And it's the monster that I guess we locally have created. Like, we created this monster. We created what we perceive to be true based on all the success, and now there is no explaining it to somebody like yourself or some guy in any other city, because all they've heard is what you've been saying. So now we're saying, no. But technically, it's not reality. Like, I can just tell you for a fact, it's just not true, but good luck proving it.
If, as a hypothetical, the Patriots were doing this, no matter who approved it or not, I don't want to get down that rabbit hole, does this mean that the Bengals are the most underachieving team in the league in that they're 1-12, but the Patriots still feel compelled to know what their signals are?
Oh, God. And here's the other thing. As far as, the signals, Give me, show me a team that actually uses hand signals to tell the quarterback or the defense with the green dot what to do. It doesn't happen. Everything is done through the helmets. Like, nobody sends in hand signals. And if you're a defensive player or an offensive coordinator, offense or defensive coordinator, you hold your play sheet over your mouth. So I don't know what they would be filming, what type of competitive advantage they would get. I mean, unless they're wired into the speaker, they won't have a freaking clue what they're doing. So that's the other thing. They're videotaping their signals. Nobody does signals. Show me a team that does signals. They don't even do personnel signals. So what are we really even talking about?
What were we talking about when it was Spygate then? Because we all agree that was an attempt to gain an advantage, right?
Now go back. No, they admitted to that. And what they were doing was something that every other team was doing. They were videotaping the opposing coach from the sideline. They were told not to do it. They did it anyways. They got fined for it. They admitted to it. That was it. But this isn't something that they weren't the only team doing this.
No, I'm just asking if that was an advantage, why wouldn't this
do it?
If that was an advantage, why would this not also potentially, if it was what they were doing, like, why not the same advantage from videotaping the sidelines in both cases?
You're assuming that Bill is like this, you know, Dr. Evil mastermind.
I'm just asking.
That created this this show called Do Your Job in order to infiltrate teams to get inside information. Like, it's not the case. It flat out isn't true. Now, you guys can believe what you want. I mean, I can't convince anyone any differently, but it's just not reality. Like, that's imagination land. Like, it is. It's like you have your own, like, little theories. You have your own way, and that's fine. But the problem is for the Patriots, unfortunately, that there is a history of misconduct. Like, there is. Whether it's true or whether it's not, doesn't matter. The stigma exists along with the winning, along with Bill's attitude, along with everything else that goes with the Patriots. So you're left with, well, hey, they did it before, and even though they didn't, so here's the other thing. So even like, so people will say, I'll ask people, hey, what were the Patriots guilty of for Spygate? They will say they filmed teams' practices. That's what they would say. Every last one of them will say, well, they were filming, practices. That's not the case. Nobody even knows. They just make up.
The truth, and by the way, we've got Christian Fourier, a two-time champion with the Patriots. He's now a sports talk radio host in Boston. The Patriots are counting on that, right? Like, the Patriots are counting on just people not knowing what really happened. I mean, I went back and read the Don Natta, whatever, Seth Wickersham piece from 2015. I mean, there was 7 years of broken down interpreted footage that the Patriots had as sophisticated a system of spying on another team as ever enacted by a football team.
Hold on a second.
The NFL destroyed the evidence.
It wasn't illegal. You were allowed to do it. Now we're going to bash them for being better at it than other teams? Other teams were doing the exact same thing. Flat out, the exact same thing.
So, no one else got caught, though. No one else got crucified. We are our reputations, after all. We really are. And
unfortunately, that's the point. Like, you're right. Like, I can't fight you on that. Like, you're 100% right. You made your bed. Now you gotta sleep in it, right? I mean, what are you gonna do?
Here's the most real question you're gonna get all day. Does this disappoint you as a former Patriot, or totally excite you as a current talk show host?
No, I mean, listen, we thought this week was going to be boring. We're playing the 1-12. Are you kidding me? Like, what are we going to do about this? It actually is kind of – I think it's kind of frustrating more than ever, because you spend pretty much – you know, I think I'm pretty honest, and if I thought something was going on, I would call them out on it. And listen, I played there 4 years. I played 7 years in Seattle. So it's not like all my love and loyalty goes to one team, but – I think they kind of put themselves in this position. I think they stepped in it by accident. But now, as a radio host and a former player, you're kind of forced to make excuses, explain it, and nobody wants to hear it. Nobody cares. The fact is, you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar. Regardless of who is to blame, that's all they're going to remember. So it kind of sucks, but at the same time, you're like, wow, we don't have to. I don't have to prep for anything. All I got to do is take calls from pissed off fans.
So, in other words, Bill Belichick just did you a solid because he likes you so much.
Yeah, it's true. I was listening. I was like, we have no content. Okay, we're so sick of talking about Brady being old, and he did us a solid.
Well, now I got a question about Brady being old for you, and I'm not even kidding. It's really not a Brady question. It's a Jimmy Garoppolo question. Is there regret there? Because let me tell you, he is starting to officially click in this system, and if you were looking for him to cut to the front of the line, a really good quarterbacking, he might have done that in the last few weeks here. I think the 49ers are very, very happy with the situation that they're now in with Jimmy Garoppolo. How's everything back in New England without Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, I think that's he's going to be the guy that got away. I think everyone really loved Jimmy G, but the timing just didn't work out. And then it looked like, well, maybe they made the right decision based on, you know, he got hurt and then he looked really bad and then he couldn't. And it was like, well, you know what? It was, you know, they might not even bring him back. But you're right. He was the real deal when he was here. Now, if he can just stay healthy, I think you got something. But, I don't think Jared Stidham's going to cut it. He definitely is the one that got away. But, again, the timing didn't work out. It didn't. And Brady went on to win two more Super Bowls. So, I mean, it's not like they made the wrong decision.
I have another Brady being old question. And just, you're more of a football expert than me. What makes this year different from other years? I understand he's down statistically fine. But last year I saw a guy who was written off and then was good enough to win a Super Bowl yet again. Why should I not believe I'm looking at the same script where half the league writes him off down the stretch and then all of a sudden they're winning another title?
Listen, I said this about 8 weeks ago. I was like, the offense is terrible. They have no talent whatsoever. They have one guy that's good, no tight ends, rookie receivers, inexperienced, tons of injuries. And I was saying that last week I thought Brady – was having one of his best years based on the fact that how many plays he was saving, how good he was doing without putting these guys in terrible situations. He absolutely has no support whatsoever. Zero. I went back and looked at last week's game. Tackles getting killed, guys not getting open. It's just like you literally are throwing the ball to one person. And I don't see any less zip on his passes. I actually think he's better in the pocket. I still think he's accurate. I mean, is he slower? Sure. I mean, he's 42, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think if you give him halfway decent receivers, because I don't think the receivers he has right now, other than Edelman, are average. I think they're below average. I think they're terrible. I mean, it's just ridiculous how bad they are. And with that system, if they don't have confidence in you, they just don't throw you the ball. They just rather take their chances, you know, someplace else and just punt it as opposed to you falling down on a route and getting the ball intercepted or running the wrong route and getting the ball or fumbling or missing a block or lining up wrong. They're just trust is too big of a component for them. They rather win with special teams, defense, and coaching. And that's how they've been winning, not offense. Their offense is near the last in every single category, period.
Christian Fourier did 4 hours in Boston today. He's got four more hours coming up tomorrow, but he already said it's going to be easy. So hopefully this wasn't too much of a sweat for him. We really do appreciate you joining us today, man. Thank you so much.
All right, boys. Have a good evening.
Christian Fourier. You can catch him on EEI. Again, two-time Super Bowl champ with the Patriots. If it sounds like he's defending the home team.
It's the home team.
That's the home team.
We failed to ask him the question that the text line sent in that I just saw, and I apologize, but inquiring minds do want to know what was going on with Tom Brady's hair the other night.
I didn't even notice. Was something wrong with Tom Brady's hair?
That camera that he was holding up in the press box earlier in the day, he held it way too close to
him. It has changed color and gotten thicker.
The one thing that has changed about how the Patriots have publicly handled this is that, unlike all the other times, this time they admitted that they did something wrong. What they're arguing about is who's culpable for it. In the past, they always said, nah, this didn't happen. So, if nothing else, they're clearly giving us a new look at the
creative
playbook.
Excuse making.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a lot harder to be able to track down who gave what order when without having to make inferences here. Because ultimately, for some, to find out who did it, you have to find some sort of paper or electronic trail. And since I doubt that that exists, we probably will never have the evidence required.
Well, and I think that's why all these people feel so comfortable hardlining and saying, yeah, sure, you could think that, but it's just not true because there's no way to prove it.
Right, and if you're asking me, do you really believe that Bill Belichick would create a clandestine web series in which to... Yes.
I agree the most likely outcome, but it is far from unbelievable.
I believe Bill Belichick would drown a bag of adorable puppies if it helped pick up a third down. So, yeah, I do believe that. And, man, I hope you've been listening to me long enough to know that I am not a subscriber to conspiracy theories, nor am I a sounding board for them. Quite often, I won't even include a dismissible segment on the show because it's just so easily dismissed by any creative thinking attached to this. The more you creatively think about what the hell might have happened with the New England Patriots this time around, the more avenues of what the hell is this open up.
And that's the thing.
And at the very least, Matt, they are guilty of not understanding the optics that this would release. Or it's even worse than that, like Ray has inferred, they don't even care.
Right.
They because don't even care.
Every explanation other than they cheat rampantly and don't care because they know there's no consequences requires some sort of stretching of my belief. Like all the stuff Christian Fauria and Peter King said today in moderate or excessive defense of Bill Belichick and the Patriots, in a vacuum, I'd prefer to believe it because right. I'm with you. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy.
Innocent until proven guilty. Let's wait and see.
I'm for all of that. But in order to swallow that line this time, I then have to stretch my imagination to places it kind of won't go on either Bill Belichick is naive or Bill Belichick just was totally unaware that any of this was happening. And it just, like, as much as I want to believe there's no massive conspiracy, it's hard.
The two defenses that the Patriots have that I would find convincing are, A, nobody does signals that way anymore, and Christian Fauria referred to it. You know, mm-hmm. They hide their mouths or they right. talk directly. That's one. The other one is, it's the Bengals.
Yeah.
And if they had said, why are we spying on the 1-12 team when Buffalo's in week 16?
But it's just...
And if they say that, I'm going... Point well taken.
Yeah, but you know, there's no such thing as an easy win in the NFL. But and that would prove...
Bengals are an easy win in the NFL.
Yeah, but look, I mean, you were Mr. I don't care about your strength of schedule argument, and now yeah. we can't go changing gears once
I think
again.
The team that has won 7% of its games is, as a general rule, easy to beat.
888.
The other thing, well, go ahead.
We got to go to a quick break. We're going to come on back for what Ray's got, what you got. 888-957-9570 was the number. You just heard Peter King on this. You just heard Christian Fauria on this. We've been on this since we hopped on the air today. Now it's time for you to hop on it. 888-957-9570. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're about to open up the lines here. 888-957-9570. Every single one of them is lit, blinking right now. There's someone on it. Ray, we went to break. We were talking about, what is this? Spygate Part 2 Electric Boogaloo, kind of.
John Oliver's been going with stupid Watergate.
Yes.
And so I think stupid Spygate
stupid
is a good...
Stupid Spygate.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, one thing that's come over the happy wire in the last bit is that somebody at NESN, which is the cable network in Boston.
Northeast Sports Network.
Correct. Is reporting that the video guy in the press box in Cleveland was wearing a Bruins hat as though that is a process of deniability. The other thing is, even if this is really a nothing burger, which I suspect that it might very well be, it doesn't matter anymore because it's not about what happened. It's about how we react to what we think might have happened.
What can be inferred.
So basically, this is a pie fight without pies. And I like that because it really does explain everything about the Patriots. When they get caught, it doesn't matter that much and it doesn't derail them. And when they get caught with something that they may not have done or may have just done innocently, it's still nuclear war because they got away the last time there was nuclear war. It's really about trying to relive weird history in the NFL based on one team that doesn't mind playing with ski masks. I'm fascinated by that.
Can I one more step further before we go out to the phone calls? How much of rushing to the defense of the New England Patriots in this instance has to do with so many people who have cast their sport opinion lot in life with, this is the greatest football team that you're ever going to see, and now can't have that stripped because that would strip them of their most important talking point?
I think you might be right. I also think that's an incredibly stupid way to handle it because, like you've said 10 times during today's show, it's just as stupid, I would agree, it's just as stupid or naive to say, well, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are no good after all, as it is to say, well, nothing to see here.
Right. Look,
like they're clearly great.
There's something to see here. I'm still trying to figure out what it is.
Of course.
In terms of percentages, I am not saying that the Patriots' success is 100% because they did nefarious things. No one could possibly claim it isn't 0% either.
No, but between 1 and 99
is where it is.
Spread. Yeah.
It's a little,
so we've really nailed it here.
Little wiggle room there, no doubt. 888-957-9570. And again, if indeed that Nessin report is right and these guys were not sitting wearing Patriots garb, it is going to take away an awful big point that Peter King was trying to make to us saying, who would do this? That's stupid in plain sight. I also believe in plausible deniability, by the way.
No, as it turns out, and this comes from Tom Curran, who works at NBC in Boston, the video guy was wearing a Bruins hat.
That's not Patriots.
No, it's not. But it also doesn't mention the shirt or any other garb.
All right.
Yeah. He probably had Pat the Patriot tattooed on his face.
I want to know, what color socks were he wearing? 888-957-9570. This is Francisco in Hayward. Hello, Francisco. Francisco going once, twice, thrice, no dice. Thank you very much. We go to Nick in Berkeley. Hello, Nick.
Hey, what's up, you guys? As we know, Belichick would cheat a Girl Scout in a game of checkers if it meant a victory for him. And so anytime we count the Patriots out, they always strike back, so don't count them out. But all I want to say is, man, the Niners, we're about to go on a six-game win streak and be world champs, man. That's what's up.
Thank you very much. This is Austin Folsom.
What's up, boys? Thank you. Those were great interviews, by the way. Enjoyed every minute of it. So the question I almost always want to hear answered is why, not who or when or what or how. And the Pats are always fantastic at deflecting the why questions. Kolsky, you had a great question after Fourier. You said that there was no benefit to filming the sideline for signals or play calling advantages. And when you asked, well, if there's no benefit, why did they admit to Spygate if there was no strategic advantage? And he said, well, you guys always say Belichick or something. He deflected it. And so what frustrates me most is, tell me why. And he never really answered why they admitted to Spygate if there really is no benefit to film, the signal calling. So maybe you guys can enlighten me a little bit. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I mean, we have that No Stupid Questions segment, but I don't think we're prepared to answer this because the point Fourier was making about it being a green dot in electronic communication is a solid point to make.
Yeah.
They are not using old hand signals. It's not like old Oregon Ducks, Chip Kelly, where they would hold up like four different pictures. It would be like a dime, a a duck, a bear, and Richard Grieco. And you'd be like, well, what the hell does that mean? And that was the point. You didn't know what any of it meant, but the team did, and that's how they would send plays in. Glad Richard Grieco made the show today, by the way.
I didn't think that was going to happen. That seemed like a bit of a stretch.
Really came out of nowhere. I was going for random. Yeah. I nailed it.
Well, that's the thing, because we have only the knowledge that something was videoed.
Start with Kevin, and I think the work that he did in the Cincinnati bullpen was exciting to all of us. And specifically, he brought back his slider, but he really started to execute his fastball and attack the strike zone, and just had success. That was, and the other thing that I thought stood out was how much good positive feedback he got from other people in the industry when we did some work on him and learned about not just his talent but his character and what he was going to bring to the clubhouse. We'll start with bring to the club out. Work on him and learned about not just his talent but his character and what he was going to bring to the clubhouse. We'll start with Kevin, and I think the work that he did in the Cincinnati bullpen. Was exciting to all of us. And specifically, he brought back his slider, but he really started to execute his fastball and attack the strike zone and just had success. That was, and the other thing that I thought stood out was how much good positive feedback he got from other people in the industry when we did some work on him and learned about not just his talent but his character and what he was going to bring to the clubhouse. We'll start with was on him and learned about not just his talent.
I don't know how that stands up in any reasoned argument, which is there are invisible things that you're supposed to know, but you don't necessarily have to. But if you break them, we can yell at you. I mean, the point is, if you want to prohibit behavior, you have to set in motion a mechanism or series of mechanisms to prevent that from happening. And that means not only making a rule, but enforcing it. And if you're going to talk about what the Patriots apparently did, in Cleveland the other day, you have to say, well, okay, is there a rule that prohibits that? Well, let's find out. But whether there is or not, what's anybody going to do about it? And the answer to that is nothing. So if there's no consequence for breaking a rule, is it really a rule? I mean, because I think
it's one of those things that I get, we didn't really think of it because it didn't happen. But now that it's happened, well, that can't happen. It's sort of like there, no NFL team had a policy of no social media in the locker room because no one ever thought that was going to be an issue. Now guys are filming live coach speeches in the locker room, and all of a sudden we're like, hey, we need some rules to stop this.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I think that's an interesting comparison, right? Because it's hard to see the upside of filming a coach's speech in the locker room other than just wanting your Instagram to be lit. And I can understand why a team never thought it might happen. But, like, if the Patriots are legitimately trying to get a creepy edge from illicit press box videos, and lots of people have questioned, oh, well, how do we know? What could they possibly see from? I don't know. I don't know the answers to a lot of those questions. I do know if they keep doing things that are, if not specifically stipulated as illegal, clearly efforts to step outside the bounds of normal NFL stuff to get an extra edge, I don't think you necessarily have to codify it for us all to understand that you're essentially cheating.
Right.
And I understand there's a difference between essentially cheating and technically cheating, but at a certain point, if you keep essentially cheating right up to the line of technicality, you deserve punishment in my book.
Okay, but how do you establish? Okay, what did they cheat?
The commissioner is perfectly comfortable just randomly making decisions and unilaterally assigning player punishments. Go ahead and do it with a coach in a franchise too.
Well, because coaches and franchises are management.
I know they're not going to.
No, but I'm saying, if we're talking about
what would be the best way to handle it and what would be the way to try to discourage similar behaviors in the future. I think that's it. Somebody has to be charged with being the adult in the room who comes up with the punishment when someone does something that they clearly should not have done, even if it's not explicitly against the exact rules the way they're written.
But you say somebody should be charged with that, but the practicality of that utopian ideal is where your argument falls.
You're right.
Because there's no way around it. Because nobody who runs that sport wants that level of scrutiny.
There's one way, and here's what I think it is, and this is a long pie-in-the-sky discussion that probably should take place on another day, but here's the solution.
This is a plenty good day.
Socialism. The government has to be in charge. And I think there's a legitimate claim to that in a world where so much money is being put at risk and being spent and being handed back and forth over sports, and these leagues are being given giant antitrust exemptions that allow them to exist in the first place. I think the answer is an objective government stepping in and saying, we are going to assign a sports czar.
Well,
and commissioners will be hired by the government, not by the owners.
Right, and that's what Ray was saying earlier, that the government is, or excuse me, the commissioner is nothing more than a mouthpiece for ownership desires, and he is not the cop who is going to bring law to the wild, wild west. It's not what a commissioner does.
He's an employee.
Right, well, that means we do need a new brand of commissioner. There's no doubt in my mind, a toothless commissioner. No one can investigate themselves, for example. I mean, okay. You cannot trust the outcome of any self-investigation. You have to be skeptical if you are an open-minded thinker in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, it's just things change. You know, we're talking about, well, it wasn't written down, so therefore it's not really a rule, that sort of thing. And, you know, you ask, what about the text line? When does it come up with something? Every now and then it comes up with something, and here it is. You know, coffee cups now have to say caution. Hot coffee. Even though you just ordered hot coffee and you didn't assume it is hot, you still need an actual warning now because somebody sued. The reason why you get the here's how you put on your safety belt instruction every time you walk on an airplane is because somebody sued them.
Okay, but in the case of the coffee story, which has been told a million times, McDonald's served this woman coffee that was 30 degrees hotter than it's supposed to be, and she spilled it and burned herself.
Where was the rule telling me that coffee had to be X temperature? Where is that written down rule commandment brought by Moses on the granite? Coffee must be served by law, by rule, at 172 degrees.
Well, no, it's the fact that it creates a danger that is covered under consumer protection laws. And that's how she was able to sue, because there was something written down in law that she could point to and say they were reckless when they gave me this coffee, because it's not supposed to be this hot.
She could have made that argument without a specific temperature of what coffee is supposed to be at McDonald's.
And wasn't Spygate?
No, but you have to be able to prove what the temperature of the coffee is so that someone can say, that is too hot because it will cause damage.
Wasn't
she
Spygate.
Sued for the right reason, and she won because she was right.
Wasn't Spygate the chance to write down the new set of rules on this? And if the Patriots have then broken those rules once again, there needs to be something punitive and damaging. And if you're telling me that there isn't a commissioner that exists now that can do that, what the hell are we doing?
That you asked that before, and I don't have an answer to that because the world in which I live is all about the people who have the most money make the rules and decide which ones get followed and which don't. If 32 owners didn't want Spygate to ever happen again, they would have gathered around a gigantic mahogany table and made a rule and made the punishment for breaking that rule so severe that nobody would ever want to do it again. They don't do that because it's not that important to them. And until you make a system by which either the owners will police themselves for the, quote, good of the game, this will continue to happen in different forms in different places. Because the only way that you can get somebody to stop behaving a certain way is to either show them the benefits of stopping that behavior or punishing them in such a way that the risk is now greater than the reward. They've done neither of those things, and since Spygate happened as many years ago as it did, it tells me that either through action or inaction, they don't care.
Right. It's like steroids in baseball. If you wanted to really get them out, you would have a punishment that was so severe, it would be crazy to risk what you would lose based on the severity of this punishment. The punishment is always an invitation to do as many steroids as you need to do to sign that second deal.
Well, and the fact is, baseball knew that steroids were becoming a thing back in 1973. And they let this go on forever and ever and ever and ever, when in fact, if they wanted to get rid of performance-enhancing drugs, they would have done the one sensible thing and gone to the DEA and say, this is a problem, we need your help. Because while there was nothing in the rule book about performance enhancers, guys were getting prescription drugs without prescriptions, which is a felony. Now, do you want to have your players led away in cuffs on game day? None of them wanted that. So they just said, well, we'll put up with this until we can't put up with it anymore. And they stopped putting up with it when Congress started making noises. And when Congress started making noises, all of a sudden, they called up George Mitchell, who's one of the most powerful senators in that body, and said, we need a blue ribbon commission. And one of the reasons why they needed that was because they wanted to move the Montreal Expos back to Washington, and they wanted to make sure it would be safe to do so. So basically, the owners followed the money throughout. And that's how you find out what they really want as opposed to what they say they want.
888-957-9570. Patrick Fremont, what do you got, Patrick? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, gentlemen. Yeah, you know, when I'm going to jump a couple of topics back when you were talking about booing. I'm wondering what stadium is going to boo the Astros the loudest when they come into town. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
I got to be honest with you.
People are going to forget by the time they come to town.
Yeah. I mean, even with their World Series championships, I still got the Houston Astros filed under does not evoke emotion in most baseball fans. The Houston Astros sound like a series I might not be going to. And by the way, the Houston Astros are awesome. You should go watch them. They're very, very good at baseball. But,
they'll be booed the next time they play the Dodgers.
Sure.
Because they beat them in 2017.
Right, but people are going to boo the Red Sox and Yankees and a lot louder and harder than them.
I don't know, because they're just arrogant and rich.
Right, that's what people respond to.
Okay, well, maybe that's it, but I don't know. But Houston was never noticed until this. And when the one thing that you can put your, plant your flag on is, hi, we cheated like crazy, that will evoke some emotion. I don't know if it's going to be the same as the Yankees, but we haven't had a chance to find that out yet because they haven't had a play. They haven't played a game since they got caught with the chemistry set. I mean, I'm not sure what the text guy was asking ultimately is who's going to boo the loudest. And you might well be right, because I think ultimately nothing's going to happen to the Astros. And baseball people are screaming the loudest about this. And I mean people who work in the industry. Outside the industry, I don't know if it's resonating or not. And I think until baseball says, whatever you in the public may or may not think, we've decided we won't tolerate this anymore, then you put in a rule, you enforce it, and you punish like hell. And you overpunish when you want to discourage anybody from doing the same thing again. They don't want to overpunish. They don't even want to underpunish. They don't want to punish.
Yeah, and also I think it may be a sign of baseball's place in the zeitgeist.
Maybe, right. But we don't know where this sits.
No, but I mean, I think if an NFL team was caught cheating in the elaborate and obvious way that the Astros were, we'd all be talking about it for weeks and weeks.
It'd be a page one story across the front page of newspapers.
Yeah, and it would affect the reception that team received. I mean, it's just that the Q rating on the NFL is so much higher.
I wish the 49ers got caught doing that.
By the way, totally different subject. But I've been seeing an awful lot of discussion about NBA ratings, why this, that, the other thing. Ethan Sherwood Strauss wrote a really interesting piece about why he assumes ratings are down, trying to say it might be this, it's definitely not that, this, that, the other thing. I've got my theory. When you tell everyone the most important thing that you have is your off season, you just devalued your own regular season. I mean, the NBA went out of its way to sell you how free agency is the coolest thing we got. Well, guess what?
You ain't
even close to your cool time now.
I think you're pointing the finger in the wrong direction, because I don't think the NBA tried to do that. I think the media did that. Specifically, ESPN did that.
So I don't want to say who it is, because I was talking to somebody.
But it was Kolsky.
I was talking to somebody last night at the game, and the conversation was about ratings being down, and what he said is, you know, I file many creative ideas to my parent company that they strike down almost by the line item veto of, this isn't about LeBron or the Lakers. This isn't about LeBron or the Lakers. The only other subject that we are accepting right now is Kawhi and the Clippers. And if it's not about one of those two subjects, it's not about to be clicked on, which means we ain't interested in it. The NBA has lost its imagination. The NBA has stopped trying to sell you a new story because the old story has been bought so many times. And that's a big part of the problem.
I think the problem is that the story is not nearly complete, because what we're talking about is ratings for the first 2 months of a season in which the following players do not exist for practical reasons: Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and the Warriors as a whole, as a concept, because the Warriors were the biggest ratings getters for the last 5 years. They are now on path to be one of the worst teams in NBA history. That's a lot.
It is.
And when you count that with the things that they lost last year when their ratings started to dip, and everybody did agree it was LeBron going to the Lakers and then not playing. So now you weren't getting LeBron last year. And the real problem here is not that they spend too much time on the offseason. It's that the NBA was the first league to sell its players aggressively. And they've done that for since Bird and Magic.
Yeah. And
when you take away that many players,
yeah,
people are going to go, well, I don't know that I want to see Giannis tonight.
And it also means your viewership can go in cycles where it takes people a couple years to get used to the new bunch of great players.
And the truth is, next year, when all those guys are back, let's see what the ratings are then. If they are flat from this year, then the problem is more than this.
I also think it's ridiculous to start looking at what your ratings are and how they're stacking up during football season. I mean, you're going to be beaten by that. Let's wait. Ray is right. A little more time is needed here before we start prescribing what is wrong.
But I do
think there's something to them selling something other than the concept of basketball matters. Changing basketball teams, hopping from one to another matters more. And I think that there are now people certainly a generation of fan who are more interested in any individual than they are in any collective team. And it's easier for me to just read a box score to see how my favorite player did than it is to watch a team that I am overall ambivalent about beyond the performance of the one player that I'm really, really interested in.
But sports video games also contributed to that, because you can make your own team with your own favorite players. And you can become more invested in the Damon Bruce Pacers than the Indiana Pacers, because a lot of kids who are half your age...
Welcome to the town of Bruce.
Well, okay. There you go. But what I'm saying is, if you can derive as much enjoyment out of being either a de facto general manager by being in a fantasy league or playing NBA 3K or whatever the new iteration of that
still
is...
Still 2K,
Okay, it allows kids to go, I'm interested in players because I can make my own teams and I can enjoy the players that I want to enjoy anyway. So yeah. If that's what you're talking about, that's been going on for a long time without ratings drops.
That's why I do think there's something to the... I don't want to just kill millennials, but I do think there's something to the killing of millennials on this. Look, it's not their fault. Seems to be a generational change, but it's not just about players. It's about, and maybe it's just about the quality of video games now, but I know my generation had video games for sure. I mean, we all played the sports video games and we could all make our own teams and all that stuff was available to us.
RBI baseball, baby.
But there's still a pretty hard line between what the enjoyment, the type of satisfaction I get from a video game and what interests me about watching sports. And there's no way, I mean, that's why I do what I do, is because there's literally no other way in life to get what I get out of watching professional sports.
To me, too, and maybe this is something to do with it, is very much, especially in my college days, games, TV. It was a communal event. I mean, it's how my friends and I got together to watch game X, Y, or Z. It feels like there are fewer communal events around games X, Y, or Z. It's just the way that we've retreated, not to the living room to watch together, but into the palm of our own hand to watch what only I can see. And that means you can't talk about it with me because I'm just the one looking at a screen that's only 5 inches wide. By the way, when you talk about sports on TV right now, here's a quick snapshot from Michael Mulville. NBC has hit $1 billion in Olympic ad sales. Super Bowl ads officially now all sold out were sold out pre-Thanksgiving. NFL viewership, again, a league that years ago people were saying, I'll never watch again, goodbye, I'm done with football. Viewership is up on Fox, CBS, NBC, and ESPN. College football viewership is up on Fox, ABC, and CBS. Dallas versus New England, a 5-year NFL Sunday high just this past weekend. The SEC is enjoying ratings of a 29-year high for the championship. I mean, it's amazing how people are flocking to every other sport on TV, but the NBA is finding itself a little lacking right now. The whys, there's a lot of interesting theories out there. We'll come back and get a few more of yours. The Warriors being bad, that's part of it. I saw it with my own two eyes last night. The Giants... The San Francisco Giants' official rebuild is now underway. What you saw last year was to make sure Bochy could leave with a smile. What you're watching this year, by what Farhan is doing, is straight up the first moves of a serious rebuild. We're going to come back and talk about all of that and a Tuesday trifecta at 5:30. Don't you go anywhere. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank Full Service Banking. No compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.